Well, let me go ahead and open us in prayer, and then we'll begin our study. Well, Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, God. Well, we thank you for, Lord, you being the vine dresser, Father, and sending your Son, the true vine, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we find all of our nourishment and all of our source in him. That, Lord, he is the one that gives us life. He's the one that gives us strength. And this is what we need, Father. We need help this morning, Lord. We need strength. We need much grace that flows from the true vine, Lord. We thank you for us, Lord, for allowing us to be connected to him, Lord. Knowing that without him we cannot do nothing, Lord. We can't even pay attention, Lord, this morning without you. Or we can't even hear the word, Lord, without you opening our ears. Lord, unless you apply the word to our hearts and change us, Lord, without you, Lord, we can do nothing. So we're asking for your help this morning, God. We're asking for your help for Pastor Phil as he preaches the word in the main service, God. So, Lord, I pray you be with us, God. I pray you would help me, Lord, that you would give me more of the Holy Spirit, God, to help me, Lord, to share your word, Father. So I pray that you bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, some of you are probably exhausted from all the preaching, maybe, from this weekend, so. Well, maybe not. Get ready for more. All right, well, as we continue our study, doing the person of Christ and the work of Christ. We're here this morning to talk about the person of Christ, how he is revealed in Scripture in John 15, that he is the true vine. The true vine. So this is an important topic. I think maybe Brother Rob, I think he mentioned this, one of the reasons why it's so important, because, you know, it's talking about Jesus. That's the reason why it's important, right? You know what Jesus told the disciples? He says, "Who do you say that I am?" And that's an important question for all of us. So as we learn these truths about the person of Christ and the work of Christ, that's something that we have to answer, right? Who do you say that Jesus is? He's not just a prophet, right? He's not just some leader, but he is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He is the Christ, the Messiah. So everything about Christ and everything that he reveals in the Scriptures is very important to all of us in our personal walk with the Lord. So it's important because not only for our personal application for our own life, but for the life of people that we encounter. Because many people have views of Jesus. Some people have different views of him. So we have to get the person of Christ right. So John 15 is going to be the main chapter that we're going to be in. So if you want to turn to John chapter 15 as we talk about the true vine. And I'm just going to read from 1 through 17. 1 through 17, we'll begin there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Amen. We won't for sure not be talking about all these verses that I read, 1 through 17. But I think, based upon my outline, I'm just going to be working through 1 through 1 through 7. But more focusing on 1, 2, and 3 is my outline. And my outline this morning for you to help you, it's going to be first, the contrast of the true vine. Second, the warning of the true vine. And thirdly is the encouragement of Jesus being the true vine. So, the contrast of the true vine, the warning of the true vine, and the encouragement of Jesus being the true vine is your outline this morning there. So, we'll begin with the first one. The first one. The contrast of the true vine. You find that in verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the true vine. You know, this the context of what's going on here, he has really left the Last Supper. He's walking with his disciples. He's having a conversation with them. And he's talking to them. And not too long from there is the crucifixion that's going to be happening, where Jesus is going to lay down his life for his people. And in that conversation, Jesus makes this statement about himself. He says, I am the true vine. And it's a very important statement. Some people have said that this might be one of the last I am statements that Jesus gives about himself. And it's an important statement that he says, I am the true vine. It's important. It's important because the disciples in their time, they probably would have understood this. Knowing that these people were an agricultural society, they understand what fruits and vines and figs and olive trees and all those things that pertain to the Old Testament and the time they were living, they would have understood this. And their mind would have been going somewhere. Their mind would have been going somewhere when they heard this. And Jesus is not just speaking to these people because they're just a bunch of fishermen and farmers, but there's a truth to this, that He's sharing something about himself that they would know. And he says this, that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So before we understand the importance of Jesus being the true vine, it's important to mention some of the things that they would have been thinking of in the Old Testament. Because when Jesus says, I am the true vine, there's a contrast there. There's something implied that there's something that hasn't been true in the Old Testament. And some of those passages that in the Old Testament that will help us to understand that will be like Psalms 80. You're more welcome to turn there. Psalms 80 will be a helpful passage to go. And matter of fact, anyone would like to read that, Psalms 80, verse 4 through 12.
4 to 12?
Yes, sir.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took a deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit?
So right away we notice something there. It says, you brought a vine out of Egypt. And what is something that God brought out of Egypt? A vine for sure, but who was it? It was the people. He brought the people out of Egypt. So he's referring to the time of Moses when he was sent. He brought the people out of Egypt. So right there it shares that there was a vine that he brought out of Egypt. It was representing the people of Israel. And also something important is that God is not very happy with this vine. He says in verse 4 that he's angry with their prayers. You know what that means? Anyone who regards sin in their heart, the Lord will not hear. So there's a problem here in the condition of the people that they're in sin. And he is breaking down the walls. So that's important. Psalms 80, the psalmist is sharing that there is a vine that came out of Egypt. So that's some of the thoughts that these disciples, when they heard Jesus making that statement in John chapter 15, they would have recognized. They would have went straight to the Old Testament because these people were very familiar with the Old Testament. Another passage will be in Jeremiah chapter 2, if anyone wants to read that. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. And then if anyone wants it, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. And then if anyone wants to read Hosea chapter 10, verse 1.
Do Jeremiah 2.
Okay. And then if anyone wants to do Hosea 10, verse 1. Okay. Just do Jeremiah first.
Jeremiah 2, 21 through 22. Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and became a wild vine? Mm-hmm. Though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Lord.
Mm-hmm. You can read Hosea 10:1.
10:1?
Yeah.
Israel is a luxuriant vine that yields its fruit. The more his fruit increase, the more altars he builds. As his country improved, he improved his pillars.
So right away, I mean, how's the fruit bearing here? Is it good? Is it bad? Is the vine doing good? Would you consider this vine to be a true vine? No, it's bad. It's even saying that it has wild grapes. There's no vine dressage to this one. He's not taking care of the vineyard here. It's producing wildly. And it's producing just sin. And he also considers in Hosea verse 1, he says it's a vine that yields its fruit. The more his fruit increase, the more altars he builds. So that tells you that the people of Israel in that time were not producing fruit that God wanted them to produce. They were turning away from God. They turned to their idols and they built altars, and they were not producing that fruit that God desired for His people in the Old Testament to produce. And we'll also do one. See, we'll do Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 and 1 through 7. No, actually, Isaiah chapter 5, 1 through 7. If anyone wants to read that one, they're more welcome to.
Isaiah chapter 5, 1 through 7.
Yes, sir.
I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with a choice vine. He built a watchtower in it and cut it out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now, you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, what did I yield? Only bad. Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed, and I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. It will be make a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there, and I will command the cloud not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel and the men of Judah, as the garden of Israel, and he looks for justice but saw bloodshed, justice but pride, distress.
Go ahead, brother.
I was just going to say that you mentioned the contrast in the text, right?
Yeah.
John chapter 13. And if you look at the chapter prior to Isaiah chapter 5, it gives us that contrast with the true vineyard, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by the spirit of judgment, and by a spirit of burning. Then the Lord will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day and smoke and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a canopy. There will be a booth for shade by day and from the heat, and for a refuge and a shelter from the storm and rain. And I think it's really telling that this, you know, they call it the vine theology.
Yeah.
Right? You're either part of the good soil that has been shot up from the Lord himself.
Yeah.
Or you are the anti-seed, if you will. The anti-Lord who has grown from rocky ground.
Yeah.
That will be burnt up on the
last day. Yeah, it's really good. That actually kind of leads me to my next point. But actually, that's really good, that contrast in that fourth chapter. Is it fourth chapter? Yeah. But just to add on, I mean, here you find in Isaiah chapter 5 that the Lord is looking. He looked for, what does it say? He looked for justice, but behold bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold an outcry. So God is looking at that fruit. And it's not producing the fruit that he desires, that he desires them to produce. It's a bloodshed. It is of unrighteousness. It's an outcry. And that leads me to the next point, was that would be a good, or just, let me just back up and say this, just a high view as we've been talking, is that the vine represents Israel in the Old Testament. And the result of this vine, the characteristics of this vine and the condition was that the branches, the vine is a bad root, and the vines don't bear good fruit. And that's something really important to mention, because that brings to just an application is this, right? The application is basically this: if anyone doesn't know Christ in this room, that's something to examine. Like, what kind of fruit am I bearing? Because he's looking for fruit, just like he was looking in the days of Israel. He's looking for fruit. Is it true fruit? And if it's not true fruit, then it's a bad root. It's not a true vine. It's not a true root. And that's something to examine right now. And that leads me to my second point, which I'll be talking about, that the four soils. Is the second point is this, the warning of the true vine. The warning of the true vine. You find that in verse 2 where he says this. Every branch that does not bear fruit. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. But verse 2a, he says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So the warning of the true vine is simply that, is that every branch in him that does not bear fruit, he takes away. It's important to know that because this vine that's not bearing fruit, this branch, it's identified with the other branches. It's in me. Look at what he says here. Every branch in me. So some people might say, There is some people out there that they would say that you can lose your salvation. They'll point to this passage here. Look it. Every branch in Him that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And some people would argue that. But we know that when we read the whole of Scripture, that the Scripture doesn't teach that. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, the way that I've always been able to really understand that type of a statement in me is that there's this appearance that person is in Christ, right? That they can put on a pretty good show on a Sunday morning, but have no idea who they truly are. And this gives the appearance, so the Lord always uses that type of language of what it appears to be. Because obviously if it's bad fruit, it doesn't even belong there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's really good, brother. There's an appearance. They identify with the other branches, but it's not bearing fruit, so He removes it. And you find that in all of Scripture, or mostly the New Testament, He deals with that. You find that in, for example, let me see here.
Is it Hebrews?
Is there a Hebrew passage? If you find it, if you want to read that, you're more welcome to.
Where they fall away. Well, you know where it is.
Yeah.
Hebrews 12, verse 22.
Well, how about...
Yeah.
Go ahead and read if you want.
I believe it's verse 1. Therefore, let us take the elementary doctrine of Christ and walk in maturity, not laying down the foundation of
sin. Are you talking about verse 5 or verse 4? For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, but have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of that age, of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt.
Mm.
Amen.
That's a long portion of passage. That's a good passage. How about this one? Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, would enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is heaven. On that day, Jesus says, this is the true vine speaking. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, workers of iniquity. That's a good passage in Hebrews. This passage right here just tells you that there's people who are going to be professing the name of Christ, being identified with Christian people. And Jesus says, I never knew you. And that's a good area for anyone that might have had come in here, whether it be the children, whether it be anyone. I mean, that's something to examine. Like, what is the fruit in your life? Is there any fruit? Are you in the vine? Because it's better, like I heard once someone say this in pertaining to Matthew 7. It's better to know now instead of trying to know that day that you stand before Christ that He never knew you. So it's best to know now that if you don't know Him, it's best to know now. Another example is Simon the magician. That man, he heard the preaching of Philip. He believed. He got baptized. He was identified with Philip. He was following Philip, seeing the wonders and works of Philip. But he fell away. Peter exposed what was in his heart. Go ahead, brother.
A really great example is Judas.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, one of the disciples of Christ.
Yeah.
And he was called by the Lord Himself to that role. Yeah. And eventually you see that he was not one that belonged.
Yeah.
And needed to be replaced.
Yeah, even in the context here, when Jesus is talking to disciples, I mean, Judas not even present there. He already on his way to betray Jesus. So there, you find that. And then you have Demas. You know, there's a lot of passages that say, Demas, you know, he says in some of the letters of Paul, he says, hey, Demas, he says hi. And then another passage like 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, he says, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica Christians, and has gone to Galatia, Titus, and Titus to Dalmatia. So there you are. You have Demas, who has been walking with Paul, identified with the church, and he leaves. He deserted Paul. So you have James that deals with it. You have true faith and you have dead faith. those branches that he's going to take away, they're dead branches. They're not really connected to the vine. There's no life in them. They're not receiving nourishment from the source of the true vine. They're actually dead. And that's something that we need to consider. Especially,
the true fruit bearer of Christ is always going to be bearing fruit that's to the glory of God. That's the whole motivation of your heart.
Yeah, that's the goal of the vine dresser, is that they bear more fruit, that he may glorify him. That's why he wants to prune them. Go ahead, brother.
I like the illustration that allows you to actually see within the vine dresser the one who receives the glory for it, right? Because while it is the vine that grows this beautiful flower, right?
Yeah.
It's pleasing to the eyes. But it is because of the vine dresser that occurs, right? Mm. It's because of the one who does the fruit.
Yeah.
It's the one who cares for the garden.
Yeah.
It's the one who plants the seed.
Yeah.
It was the work of their hands that produced this wonderful vine. And it is him who is in charge of getting rid of the bad fruit, the bad vines. Right, it is him who clips and prunes, and allows it to really flourish by taking care of the good soil.
Yeah. The Father being the vine dresser, his name's on the line. I mean, if this vine doesn't bear fruit, then he's not going to be glorified. But he desires that his Son be glorified with him, so this fruit's going to grow. And that would be on our next point, is that the encouragement and the result of us being in the vine. But just to carry on, I want to talk about this because, I mean, especially for the children that might be hearing over this, they might hear this message, and you know, people that are coming in, and especially the children or the youngsters, is that, because here John is saying that if every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. It's like there's an identification, but I mean, they're in, but they're not really in. You know, they're close, but they're not really close to Christ. And that'd be something to ask yourself, like, hey, I'm in because I go to church with my family, or I'm in Christ because I do this, or I was baptized. You got to examine yourself. Are you truly in Christ? Are you truly in Christ? Because if you're not, then that's a great warning. He talks about that, the warning here. He also says, in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch. He withers and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. That's talking about the judgment. It's talking about hell. So you got to make sure your faith is in Christ. If not, if you're not in the vine, if you're not truly in Christ, then there's consequences of that. Jesus warned that. He says, you know, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He says that, you know, it's, the hell is real. The hell is real. It's an eternal punishment for all those who do not obey the gospel of Christ. So make sure you're trusting in Christ, the true vine, and make sure your faith that you have is a living faith and not a dead faith. Because living faith, there's going to be works to it. There's going to be an evidence of works. It's not that the works save you, but it is the evidence of true saving faith, the evidence of your faith in the vine, the true vine. So that's so really important. And like Rob mentioned, the four soils. That you have some soils.
I was just going to mention to your point. Verse 3, the Lord like so graciously and providentially throws in that reminder.
That's my favorite one.
He goes, already you are clean because of what I spoke to you. Mm. Instead of confusing this idea that bearing fruit is the requirement for salvation. He, before you can even get it in your mind, he goes, you're already clean.
Bro, that's so encouraging. That's really encouraging. That's one thing I'm going to talk about, is that I think Jesse, when he went through this chapter in John, he emphasized that part. He says, before we talk about abiding, before we talk about fruit bearing, you got to get this right, this verse 3. And then actually, that will lead me to my, let's go to the third point here, the encouragement of Jesus being the true vine. The encouragement of Jesus being the true vine. And we find that in verse 2b and in 3 and 4. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that I may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So the encouragement of Jesus being the true vine, this is very important. Because even though I talk about examine yourself whether you have faith, I mean, the Christian does struggle. The true Christian can struggle and look at their life and see less fruit, or see a pause of their fruit, or a season of their life where they even question themselves. They're like, man, am I even bearing fruit? And that's a reality for us, isn't it? And we see others grow, we look at them, then we look at the mirror, we're like, man, where am I? I need more fruit. But it's like what Brother Rob mentioned. I mean, this is where you got to stop before you talk about abiding and bearing fruit. Verse 3, like Robert said, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And that's one of the encouragement that's in the vine, the true vine. And Jesus is very tender. He cares about his sheep. He cares about his branches. And he says, you're already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. The gospel. You're already clean. You're already justified. You're already adopted. You're already right with God. It's all settled. You have perfect righteousness, perfect justification. And that's important because that would motivate us to want to abide even more. We want to be obedient even more. You have to get that right first. It has to be, you're already clean. And that's a really important thing, even for me. Even for me, I need that. Because if not, we'll get the cart before the horse. We'll be trying to perform and we'll be trying to gain. And sometimes it might be sneaky too. We know that we're not trying to do it, but we know we're trying to seeking for that feeling. But you have to believe by faith that He loves you no matter what you have done. And I'm not trying to minimize sin, but that's the reality that, man, like the question that was given to Mike Durham, like, do you believe that the Christian can be, or what's the definition of the Christian, sinner or saint? And he gave a good answer to that. He mentioned, I think it was Martin Luther, he says that the Christian is simultaneously saint and sinner. Because we do sin. This is why Jesus says, confess your sins. This is why he says, ask the Father to forgive you of your sins. Forgive me of my trespasses. Because we do fall short and we do sin. But we must have this truth that Robert mentioned, and most definitely the true vine mentions, you are already clean. And that's really important. There's this little book, it's called The Cross Center Life by C.J. Mahaney. I've been reading that. I put it down for a little bit. I need to pick it up. But he just talks about just practical things you can do by having the cross center life. And he mentioned one thing that he does at that time. And there's a lot of stuff that he says that's good, but he mentioned this. He says, one thing that I like to do after my devotions, I like to read my devotions. I read and I pray. And after that, I go to the Lord and I ask Him, Lord, I thank you for these devotions. Thank you for allowing me to read. Thank you for allowing me to pray. And I thank you, Lord, that none of this would add to my justification and none of this would increase more love in you for me. It's already done. And not only should we be praying that when we don't make it, when we make it to our devotion, but we should pray that when we don't make it in the morning sometimes. To pray that, Lord, I thank you that even though I didn't read today, and even though I didn't pray today as I wanted to, that Lord, that you love me. And that should motivate you to want to pray more and read the Bible more, that He loves you. So that's one of the encouragement and the result of being in the true vine. Another encouragement and the result of being in the true vine is that He cares for the branches. Because some branches are weak. Some need more help. And a bruised reed He will not cast away. So that's important that we have This Savior, the true vine who cares for every branch, no matter how much fruit the other one is bearing, He cares for everyone. And He knows that the Father, who is the vine dresser, who is very caring, who takes care of every branch, that He'll take care of them. He knows how to prune. He knows how to use the snippets. And He knows how to cut. He's perfect in that. And that's an encouragement too, that He's going to prune. And that hurts sometimes. I don't know about you, but pruning hurts. And sometimes you might ask, why? Why is this happening to me? But it's good. Because the Father knows that He does these things for the purpose of us bearing more fruit. And He knows what we need. And He knows what the things that are in our life that are coming in that He needs to take away. So it's good that we endure that. Just like Hebrews says, it says, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as son? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when He reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. So it's good that the Father is pruning us. He brings trials in our life to make us depend more upon Him. He does that. So, one of the results of being connected to this vine that you're going to grow, that's for sure. We're not going to remain fruitless. He's going to grow us. And some of us have a slower pace and the progression of sanctification, and some of us we're growing by God's grace. It's grace, the grace of God, no matter where you're at. And one of the results of being connected to the true vine is that we can come to Him no matter what. We feel weak, we can come as believers to Him, the true vine, and get our strength. The Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is Christ. Through Him who strengthens me. And He can supply all our needs. If you need peace, you can come to the true vine. What does He say? Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You need endurance? You can come to the true vine. What does He say in Hebrews 12:1? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If you need endurance, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So if you need endurance, you look to the author and perfecter of your faith, and He'll get you through. He's the one that can supply every strength. You need to be reminded that you need to be forgiven. Then you can go to Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. This is the true vine. This is the one that can supply all of our needs. This is the one that can help us bear fruit. So it's important to know that. Are you dealing with condemnation this morning? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, the true vine. It doesn't say true vine, but I added that. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you need to be reminded of His love for you, I mean, that's throughout all the Bible. Read the whole Bible from the beginning to the end. You'll never go wrong. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, it's also a nice reminder that, or a helpful reminder, not necessarily nice, but helpful, that part of the love of God is sometimes the pain that He will set you through, right?
Yeah.
Just like when it says, abide in Him and I in you, right? And He will do the pruning. Right? And the pruning sometimes is going to be difficult, like it says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:20-30, about, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Mm-hmm. It is better to enter glory, maimed and without limb, than to go to hell with all of your limbs intact.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously we don't believe in literally cutting your hand off or plucking your eye out.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's going to feel like that, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah.
that's because God does in fact love you.
Yeah.
It is because that God wants his people to receive the best and most blessings, and sometimes it comes in the form of getting rid of your so-called limbs
yeah.
for your better and his glory.
Yeah, brother. Amen to that. And to continue on for more encouragement, the true vine and the result of being the true vine is that basically it comes down to we just need to abide. Like what he mentions here. What he mentions in the verse. What does he say? Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Abide in me. And this is really important. To abide in him. You want to bear more fruit, you abide in him. You abide in him. I like the way J.C. Ryle and I think it's Derek Thomas, they talk about this verse. And they're both pastors. And just the way they talk about this verse, and if I can paraphrase them, they just say, what does it mean to abide? I mean, they basically say, just stick close to him. That's what Jesus is saying, abide in me, stay close to me, walk with me, fellowship with me, sing to me. Let's go together. Let's stay with me. Don't leave me. Roll every burden upon me. Every care upon me. Keep every precept of mine to your mind. Keep it close. Hide every promise in your heart that's mine. Stay close to me. Don't leave me. That's what it means to abide. Stay near the love of Christ. Abide in his love. That's the encouragement. When it comes down to it, what does it mean to abide? Just stay close to the Lord. So that's the importance and the encouragement and the result of being in the true vine, that God has made a way, that even though that Old Testament vine fell short and did not bear fruit, he had a promise like in Isaiah chapter 4 that he was going to bring this branch and it was going to shoot forth and it was going to bring glory to God. And it was through the work and redemption of Christ when God sent the Son into this world to live a perfect life that we can never live, and who died in our place, who took the wrath of God, who rose again on the third day, this glorious resurrection, which we're going to be hearing in our main service, is that this true vine, and the Father being the vine dresser, he's going to make us grow. And he has other people that he's going to save, he's going to bring in, and they're going to bear fruit. And just an encouragement for those, for any of the children, if you don't know Christ, then come to the true vine. Come and experience what it means to abide. Well, amen. Let me pray. Well, Father, I thank you for this hour, Lord. God, there's so many people who wrote so many commentaries who preached on this passage, Lord, that did a wonderful job, Father. I just thank you for those men that I have got to listen to and I got to read. Lord, I pray that these truths that were shared, that you would use them to apply upon our hearts, Father. That as we get up, Lord, we have that upon our mind, Lord, to stay close to you, to go with you, Lord. Wherever you go, we'll go. So Lord, help us to have that close communion. We thank you for our union with you, Lord. You being the true vine and us being the branches. We thank you, Jesus, for that work you have done. We thank you, Father, for being the vine dresser. And I pray that, Lord, as you prune, give us the grace to endure, Lord. Give us the grace to believe and trust you in those times, Lord. And root out everything, Lord, that's displeasing to you, Lord. Help us to bear fruit that we may glorify you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.